ZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Four people shot and killed, a fifth in critical condition after a mass shooting in a midtown Manhattan office building. ABC's Josh Margolin in New York.
As the evening rush was taking hold and people were heading home, this individual drives up on Park Avenue, double parks the way that people do in Manhattan, gets out of the car. He has a rifle in plain view and walks with great purpose directly into a main door of this Manhattan skyscraper, and he starts firing at people.
Among those killed, an off-duty police officer who was working security at that office building. The gunman, believed to have taken his own life, was from Las Vegas. Police say he has a mental health history. In Reno, Nevada, three people were killed, three others wounded when a gunman opened fire in the valet area of the Grand Sierra Resort and Casino. From Texas up through Massachusetts, severe heat affecting almost 200 million of us this week. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Many more people can say that. So I'm very fortunate to do what I do and to have the opportunities that I have.
Okay, Sam Mayer was second, followed by Taylor Gray, Kyle Larson running this one, and Ryan C. rounds out the top five. Your quick point standings, Justin Allgaier's massive lead is now just 21 points over the surging Connor Zilich, who now has five wins this season. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is Iowa Speedway, Saturday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on CW. This is the final lap.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and skip the regular line at the airport and pay for speedy security. Imagine not having to quickly unpack and pack at the place you already came back to. And wearing your shoes the whole time you're there? You can't put a price on that kind of luxury. Well, actually you can, and you paid for it. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for speedy security. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Young Farmer and Agriculturist Program is for our younger Farm Bureau members up to 35 years of age, and that is where a lot of our contests take place, which was something that I had the opportunity to do through the discussion meet, as well as achievement. It's a program you should really look into.
WFBF.com.
It opened up opportunities for me.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin.
A good friend might tell you that your shoe's untied, or hey, you've got a bit of breakfast on the corner of your mouth. Well, a good friend will also share valuable insights about the scoop on money and energy savings, like Benjamin Plumbing and their game-changing electric hybrid water heaters. Potential savings of up to 3 to 4 times a conventional water heater, with current tax incentives up to $2,000. Benjamin Plumbing's electric hybrid water heaters go beyond being just a water heater. It acts as a dehumidifier for your basement, kicking musty odors, mold, and excess moisture to the curb. Eco-friendly and efficient, these electric hybrid water heaters will leave your wallet and our environment completely satisfied.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses. I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
If you're constantly consumed with food, what to eat, what you shouldn't eat, what you'll eat next, that's not willpower. That's silly food noise, and it's exhausting. At Ignite Wellness Partners in Dane County, they help you silence the food noise with medical tools like semaglutide, prescribed and monitored locally, so you'll stop obsessing. This isn't some online gimmick. It's personal and proven to work. Schedule your free consultation at ignitewellnesspartners.com. Real results right here in Dane County.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The Mavericks went ahead and took Cooper Flagg. And now we get to see what the first overall pick is going to do in Dallas. And the only question, because everybody expects him to be outstanding in this association, is will he make an immediate impact in a league where rookies rarely do? He'll get the minutes. And the question is, how's he going to work in?
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to the Midwest Farm Report on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. My goodness, has it been warm outside. Yesterday, the Midwest Farm Report team was out at the Evansville Golf Course for the Wisconsin Soybean Association's Clean Fuels Classic. We thought we did pretty well. We got a bogey pretty much at every hole, but the winning team scored a 63. We came in a bit behind at 87. Maybe it's because we all watched Happy Gilmore 2 before hitting the course. We all gave our best Happy Gilmore swing, and I think we should leave that one to the experts. But are we ever going to get a break from this heat? We'll find out in just a moment from our ag meteorologist, Stu Monk. Also live with us this morning, John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. We'll talk grain, we'll talk cattle, and also trade negotiations. That's coming in the bottom of the hour. But before that, there is a crop in Wisconsin coming off the ground right now. I'm not talking about wheat, but this one is a key ingredient in toothpaste. It's all on the way.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join the Midwest Farm Report on Wednesday, August 6th at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Starting at 9 a.m., visit us at the Rank Seeds booth, number 616, near the food court, for a special hat exchange. Bring your hat and stop by to say hello and get a new hat. Tell them the farm team sent you.
We'll also be broadcasting at 11:30 a.m. in booth 669 on Central Avenue with Rural Mutual Insurance. Learn how the number one farm insurer is keeping Wisconsin strong with premiums paid here that stay here. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Wedding season is in full swing, and many people love the Wisconsin farm aesthetic with a beautiful barn for their big day or to just host a special event. I'm Aubrey Schlimgen from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Jean Bond is one of the owners of Farm View Event Barn, where after hosting her daughter's wedding, they saw an opportunity to diversify their operation. Now, they and many others have been facing obstacles due to a law put into place.
Yes, November of 2023, our legislators voted for a new law which included many changes in the alcohol business in Wisconsin. Formerly, it was always related strictly to retailers, manufacturers, and distributors. This new law now pulls in places where people simply consume alcohol. So that's how event venues got pulled into the law. We never were governed by that law because we didn't sell alcohol. People brought in refreshments to serve their guests free of charge. Nothing was ever sold. So the obstacles that farmers that have these agricultural event venues are now facing, there's many. I know of people where their township doesn't allow retail alcohol sales. We actually have dry townships in Wisconsin. So they are left with having put in so much hard work and investment to make their barn a place people enjoyed coming to, and they can only have one event per month, a maximum of six per year.
So now talk about what is currently happening or what has been happening within the last year or 2 years. Where are we currently standing with trying to help fix this issue?
So currently there is a lawsuit out there that is looking to address the constitutionality of this law. Basically, the law also exempts many other places that do the exact same thing, rent space for private events. And depending on where you are located, who owns you, some places are exempt. Unfortunately, farmers are not. So there is a lawsuit out there. Also, the constitutionality, our Wisconsin Constitution allows for people to have the right to earn a living. So this ridiculously low number of allowing one per month, six max a year, is being addressed by this lawsuit that will not have a decision until November of 26, possibly. And even that, regardless, I think, of what the decision is, either way, there's going to be appeals. So that is not helping the current situation. We've been trying for 2 years now to get some legislators willing to create a bill. I mean, there's multiple ways to correct this without changing much in the law. We're not asking for funding or money or grants. We simply would like to have a more reasonable number of events allowed. We're not opposed to getting what they call the no sale event venue permit, which is a new permit that was created by this law. And there's not opposition to that. Just the restriction to one event a month, six a year, is just, we feel, unworkable. And it's just not going to help us financially recoup our costs. We also could offer out that these exemptions, one of the exemptions is tailgating. Basically, those people rent space in their yard. People come and celebrate, bring their own drinks, and carry on. And I believe part of the reason that was exempted, it was just such an iconic Wisconsin thing. You know, we would be happy to have the agricultural-based event venues also. Preserve our iconic Wisconsin barns. Let's have some legislation that exempts us as well. I think we're just as important to the state of Wisconsin. Everybody knows not too many families have an opportunity anymore to beautiful barns that have been preserved when they're used for an event venue rather than allowed to fall in and be destroyed. So that's what we're working to do. We're having difficulty finding legislators. I'm not quite understanding. They always want to support the rural economy, which we certainly do that as well. They say they want to support farmers when they're out campaigning, but we're having trouble finding legislators willing to sign on and simply make that small change that would help so many of our small families. These are small and medium-sized farms that are depending on this income in general. They're not the big mega farms, and we just need some help to get this changed and get it corrected.
Obviously, we talked about there's numbers that you're restricted to have within the event space, period. But then what about with the liquor as well? You talked about, obviously, you don't want the farms to turn into taverns, but could you see some appeals or some other things tagged on with the lawsuit that can help work with that aspect as well?
Well, currently, the law also not only regulates the venue owners to one, or relegates, I should say, to one event a month, it's actually putting some restrictions on consumers in Wisconsin. If you choose to have your wedding or family event at an agricultural event venue, first, we can only have one a month, and they are restricted to only beer and wine products. So many venues in the summer with our hot weddings, a lot of couples like having the mixed drinks available, the iconic Wisconsin old-fashioned at their weddings when they're celebrating, and those would be prohibited. And kind of surprisingly to me, that is a big deal to consumers, to some consumers, whether they can have the availability of hard liquor. So that's affecting it with that way. The other events, we can have more than one event a month, but the others have to be no alcohol. And at the time the bill was passed, legislators didn't think that was a big deal. But in all honesty, how many family reunions, graduation parties, weddings in Wisconsin have you been to where they don't at least have a beer available for Wisconsinites? Here in Wisconsin, it's it's pretty standard operating. So I personally, I can't even get my six filled. They're either not happy with not being able to have what they want to serve their guests for refreshments, or they are not willing to have a completely no alcohol event. It's just not what they wanted. So it's really being a challenge. We're feeling it right now. Weddings book out a year, year and a half in advance. So this law, really, we are looking for somebody to step up before we completely lose everything in 2026 for our wedding season bookings. And we sure could use some help.
Absolutely. So then do you have any additional things that you want to add or any advice for other people who are in the venue business and the renter's business with farming that you can kind of throw out there and share with in the next year?
Well, I like I said, this law is being looked at in the end of November of 25. But by then, pretty much bookings for 26 are done. So I think for farmers who are relying on that income to maintain their farm and be able to pay their bills, they need to get to their legislators and get them to support a change, explain to them how it's affecting their family, look for other opportunities to diversify. I'm struggling with that myself. I'm just not sure how else I can generate revenue without allowing those things, perhaps corporate events, things like that farmers could look at. And I think farmers really need to educate themselves about the law. There's a lot of misinformation. There's not a lot of information from the Department of Revenue who's administering the rules. So it's not even set yet what the permit fees are going to be. Some people think it says one thing and it doesn't. There is just a lot of misinformation. You got to get yourself informed so you know what you can do, what you can't, and don't put yourself at risk of having events without the proper permit or having ones that aren't allowed and losing your entire permit if they happen to stop in to see that you're following the rules.
That was Jean Bond on behalf of their business, Farmview Event Barn, giving us an impactful update on how her and many other farms within agritourism are being affected by this law. She stresses in order for something to happen, future married couples and farmers alike should express change and contact local legislators to make sure this change becomes a reality. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Aubrey Schlumgen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently that the Trump administration's DOJ requested complete voter records from 12 states. Minnesota just refused to cooperate. In Florida, there's a decision in a court case over the city of Miami's proposed postponement of a city election. First to Minnesota, where the Secretary of State's office notified the Trump administration's Department of Justice that it would not comply with its request to turn over all voter records from the 2020 and 2024 elections, including voting and registration records. The office's general counsel said DOJ failed to provide legal justification for the request and did not specify how the data would be secured. DOJ has requested records from 11 other states, including Alaska, Arizona, Florida, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin. New Hampshire has also refused to comply, citing state privacy statutes. In June, the Miami City Commission voted to delay city elections from November 2025 to November 2026. It would extend Miami's commissioner and term-limited mayor by a year and was called a power grab. After mayoral candidate Emilio Gonzalez sued, a Miami-Dade County judge ruled July 21st that the city commission could not move the election without voter approval, according to the Miami Herald. We've linked to Minnesota's letter to DOJ and local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week, Mr. Paul Vandenplas.
The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
It's seeing some of that rainfall come in. Rocky from Taychita, he's a Coco Raz reporter. He said he saw a quick 0.4 inch this morning. So, rain is on the way. And is that cool front following with it?
It will finally get through here, Stephanie. We're getting a bit of a break. Rocky did pretty well at Taychita. I'm just a little south. I didn't see anything in my rain gauge. But I look around to see La Crosse at 1,500ths, Boston 0.09 of an inch, Park Falls as well, 0.09 of an inch, Wausau 0.19, Eau Claire 0.46. So a little hit or miss rain has been around. There is a low pressure system out to our west trying to pull a warm front up out of the south and draw a cool front in from the north. That cool front, far northwest Wisconsin to southwest Minnesota, and the band of rain is in south central Wisconsin. Right around the Madison area, probably stretching up to about the Boston area, right up along the interstate and back into northwest Iowa. Through the day today, as that front moves in, almost all of us have a small chance of a shower. Could be a thunderstorm. I don't expect a great deal of rain anywhere. Another 0.1 inch or two, that's about the extent. But even as that front drops off to our south, it will stay near enough. A very small rain chance could linger later tonight or into Wednesday. That's especially in the southeast, call it half of the state. In the far northwest, drying out already by as we head toward tonight and into the day tomorrow. In the south, that small rain chance lingers around into Wednesday. But the big news is the hot temperatures start to go away. Still warm today, still around and above normal, no doubt about that. But we start to drop off. Daytime highs in the 70s. That's what we'll be seeing here by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and in fact, then drying out. More sunshine expected already later in the week with that little cooler air mass in store. North breeze is not too strong. It sounds really great right on into and through the weekend. Upper 70s may be the warmest we get even in the south half of the state. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Well, Stu, the whole team, myself, Ben Jarbo, and Kylie Allen, we're headed to the Wisconsin State Fair Park this afternoon for the Sporkies and Drinkies competition. Are we going to have to be prepared with raincoats and waterproof shoes?
Well, I don't know if I'd worry about it that much. You know, it's not going to be more than 0.1 inch or two, but there will be some rain chance. Certainly would feel good aside from the heat we're going to endure. Let's talk about that forecast. Mostly cloudy skies, showers this morning in the south. They may redevelop almost anywhere in the state a bit later this afternoon around toward evening. Temps today ought to still make their way up into the low and mid 80s, and the winds out of the west about 5 to 10. Overnight, still mostly cloudy. Could be a very late night shower or storm, especially about the southern half of the state. I'd expect nighttime lows in the mid-60s, a little cooler in the north, and the northwest and north winds about 5. Mostly cloudy tomorrow, especially in the south. That's chance of a shower or storm. Kind of hit or miss activity. We'll have to watch for it tomorrow, but still in the low and mid 70s. Finally, by Thursday, sunshine, mid 70s, northeast breezes. And I expect those mid 70s, Stephanie, almost toward the end of the week, should seem like air conditioning after yesterday and today.
Excellent, Stu. We'll talk about more of that tomorrow morning. And hey, how do trade negotiations impact your farm? That conversation is on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matinair on Air. Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden joins the show to talk about the LFPA program.
The LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program. And, you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops.
Yeah, this program seems like a win-win to me. It's good for the farmers who are incentivized to produce this food. It's good for the food pantries. It's not like the government is coming to Wisconsin farmers and saying, you have to grow X acres of food and then I want you to give it away to hungry people. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. You know, there's a payment-based system there on what the farmer is going to produce for this market that's been established. It's there. It's also something that's getting, you know, those fresh fruits and vegetables more directly into the consumer hand and making it more available for more people. You know, when we look at what's going on in the general grocery store aisles, you know, most of those products are not fresh anymore.
Right.
They're getting to be a week or 2 weeks old because of the distribution network. They go from the farm to a processor to a distribution center, and you got a whole week that's passed already before it ever gets to that local grocery store shelf. So, you know, this is getting something in people's mouths within 72 to 96 hours from when it was picked off the land. And, you know, why aren't we doing more of this across the whole country, you know, versus depending on a food system that's really broken at this point?
Well, and again, now we're talking about making more restrictions for people who do receive food stamps and those kinds of benefits. We want to restrict what they can buy in the stores because we want them to buy healthier things. Mm-hmm. And then yet at the same time, we're going to take away these healthier options and hurt our farmers at the same time. There's so much stuff working at cross purposes in this bill.
Yeah, it is, you know, and certainly we would like to see the farm bill, you know, pass as it is. There's a ton of improvements that can be made, but in this current political situation, that simply isn't going to happen. But let's pass the farm bill as a farm bill and not have it in this big, beautiful bill that's going to, you know, be a detriment to the whole country, not only on the budget deficit that we're going to see, but also, you know, the programs that are being cut and not being helpful to, number one, the American farmers, but number two, the consuming public.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Four people shot and killed, a fifth in critical condition after a mass shooting in a Midtown Manhattan office building. ABC's Josh Margolin in New York.
As the evening rush was taking hold and people were heading home, this individual drives up on Park Avenue, double parks the way that people do in Manhattan, gets out of the car. He has a rifle in plain view and walks with great purpose directly into a main door of this Manhattan skyscraper, and he starts firing at people.
Among those killed, an off-duty police officer who was working security at that office building. The gunman, believed to have taken his own life, was from Las Vegas. Police say he has a mental health history. In Reno, Nevada, three people were killed, three others wounded when a gunman opened fire in the valet area of the Grand Sierra Resort and Casino. From Texas up through Massachusetts, severe heat affecting almost 200 million of us this week. This is ABC News.
The Brewers back in first place.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, and at 5 o'clock, I engage with Professor Mariel Barnes about violence against women, gender, and the Epstein scandal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds and showers and storms developing in the overnight. Heavy rainfall our biggest concern, and morning lows in the upper 60s. On Tuesday, showers, a few storms around, partly sunny skies with a northwest wind. Highs in the lower 80s, currently 71 degrees.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Pam Yonke appearance on John and Gordon.
How about breakfast on the farm? Yeah. How'd that go?
First of all, thanks to all the volunteers. Thanks to everybody that showed up. They were guessing north of 5,000 people that were there starting at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Got a chance to have a pancake. I looked down to eat my pancake. I looked back up, and all of a sudden there was a swarm of humanity waiting to stream into the machine shed for breakfast. So I thought it was really interesting to see what people are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the cows. The cows are the big attraction. Everybody wants to see them and kind of get a little perspective on how big they are.
Yeah.
But it was also cute to see they had 3 barn kitties, and kids could line up to hold the barn kitties.
Oh.
Now,
oh.
I mean, babies of any kind are cute, but when you put barn kitties with little kids, it was just, if you want to see the pictures, I've got some up at Midwest Farm Report and Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. But it was really well done. Third time that the Hinchleys had hosted it. Mm. So again, like we said, really, really well done for sure.
All right.
That's excellent. You know, Cambridge is quite a nice little town.
It is.
Been through there a number of times.
Yeah. We did talk about the artisan butter last week.
Right.
Well, now let's talk about the food and beverage innovation camp that's going on. Kekoman is putting this in.
Well, they're part of it. So I didn't know that this was going on. If you live or have drive through the Jefferson area. So what they're calling this is a food and beverage innovation campus. And what they're doing, Jefferson County, I don't know if you're aware, is home to quite a few different food companies. Nestle Food is down there. There's a lot of different food-related companies.
Jones,
and now they've decided to try to bring them all together in this food and beverage innovation campus.
Mm-hmm.
Kekoman is the first to financially commit to building their factory there, and that's already underway. According to the economic development people that are connected with it, they said they've already invested about $563 million to create this welcoming area. And one of the reasons why Jefferson is so well suited for this is the workforce. That's something that Jefferson touted for a long time. and they want to continue to bank on that. So this looks like it is very well supported, not only in Jefferson County as far as public monies, but also as far as the agribusinesses and food companies that are interested in coming there. The next phase after they get started with the actual brick and mortar of the food manufacturing side of things will be focusing in on creating the residential element for all the employees
sure.
that these companies are going to be needing. They said they know that they're out there, but they want to make sure they're close to where they're going to have to work. So that'll be the next phase.
That's great.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
And what they need to do to hopefully get back to that level or close to it.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report. The crop progress report shows that corn, soybean, and wheat ratings are strong, notably soybeans. Market advisor John Heinberg will join us at the bottom of the hour with the details. And in just a moment, we'll talk about a crop that doesn't get included in these regular updates. It's actually being harvested right now. But first, let's see how the stars are aligned to form your to-do list. According to the astrology section of the Old Farmer's Almanac, today is a good day for two things. If elopement is on your mind, the courthouse is open, and July 29th is a good day to get married. If you're not ready to take that kind of leap on a Tuesday, the Old Farmer's Almanac says today is also a good day to get a haircut. That's what's happening on a Tuesday, July 29th, according to the moon's position in the Old Farmer's Almanac. Corn, soybeans, and wheat will drive our conversation today with market advisor John Heinberg, but we're going to be talking about another crop coming off the ground. I'm talking about the peppermint that's in your toothpaste and chewing gum. It's grown right here in Wisconsin. We're visiting Still Harvest Farm in Rock County, where partners Trip Downing and DJ Waller are in the thick of peppermint harvest. Nestled just south of Janesville, their farm is buzzing with activity during what's usually a quieter stretch between corn and soybean seasons. They tell us what this harvest entails.
Mint harvest is right about now, like you said, end of July. We really hit it hard early August. It's about a two month stretch, kind of the short and sweet version of it. Harvest is we swath it, we cut it, it goes straight into a windrow. We come in with pull type choppers, try to chop it up as fine as we can. It blows it into these specialized wagons. We call them mint tubs. These tubs have all the doors where it loads and where it dumps has a gasket around it to seal it tight. So once you get it full of the chopped up mint, you close the front door, seal it up tight. You pull it into the distillery here where we can cook 23 of them at a time. Inside of the distillery, we have two big boilers that are making steam. We hook a steam line directly to that wagon, blow steam into it, vaporizes the peppermint oil that's in the plant plus any moisture, any water content. That vapor gets carried through aluminum lines into a condenser, which is full of cold water. It cools that back underneath the 212 is boiling, but it gets it back to...
It condenses it back, the vapor back down to a liquid state.
Yeah, it gets it back to a liquid, comes out of the condenser. So that's an oil and water, peppermint oil and water mixture. Flows into what we call separators, where it sits stagnant. The oil is lighter than water, so the oil comes to the top, and then we skim the peppermint oil off the top of the water, and we have 100% peppermint oil.
Give us a sense of the growing season this year, then, and how you expect your mint oil, your peppermint oil yield to be based on the weather we've had this year.
Early spring, and even prior to that, we were obviously very dry. Anybody in the area knows that. Our ground is irrigated, so we tried to keep water on it because mint is a big fan of water. It takes a lot of water to grow the crop. It did good. We had the heat kind of came on late as well, but then we're making up for that now within the last couple weeks. So I think our yields are going to be good. Yeah,
the crop looks pretty good.
We're catching late rains now. We're kind of hoping that it dries up for harvest, so we're not playing in the mud. As far as irrigation and then these late rains, I think we're going to have a very, very good crop this year.
What does mint like?
A lot of sunlight, heat, and water, and nitrogen. Problem with mint, it's just it's real shallow rooted. So, you have to baby it or spoon feed it, I would say. You know, we do a lot of fertigation through the irrigators just because, like I said, the mint's only rooted down 4 inches, maybe 5 max. So you got to keep the nutrients and your water in that upper soil profile because your subsoil doesn't, the mint roots aren't down there, so it can't get to it. So we do a lot of foliar feeding and fertigation and stuff to keep the mint plant the best it can be.
And a healthy plant at that this year, as you said, expecting a good yield of peppermint oil. Tell me where that oil goes.
So we have 4 or 5 different buyers that buy directly from us, and then they'll take it and do the blending, and they'll further process it. But the majority of our oil here out of the Midwest, I would say, ends up at like Colgate and Wrigley's for your toothpaste and gum is where the majority of our oil eventually ends up. But like I said, there is a middle step or another step in between there before it gets to them. We send them a raw product, and then they have to further process it and do the blending and stuff to get the...
They make it consistent. So Your toothpaste and your bubble gum is consistently tastes the same and whatnot. Because if we harvest a field that's 1 year old, the readings that come back from the gas chromatograph is different than the readings that come back from a 5-year-old field. So they'll take that and whatever they do on their laboratory end. So each stick of bubble gum and each tube of toothpaste is exactly the same.
So I take it you guys only brush your teeth with Colgate and you only chew Wrigley gum?
That is correct.
Absolutely. Yes.
Highly recommend Colgate toothpaste.
Still Harvest Farm in Rock County. Don't touch that dial. Have you ever wondered how the Wisconsin State Fair is able to staff up for the best 11 days of summer? Kylie Allen takes us behind the scenes after the break.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStacks Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corntraits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield. That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive? Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
To successfully host an event that brings in over 1 million guests each year, you have to have a large staff of people. Samantha Dennis is the Chief Organizational Development Officer for the Wisconsin State Fair. She has details on exactly how many people it takes to make the event go smoothly each year.
Yeah, so we are active year-round with a lot of staff. So we employ about 250 people year-round, and then we go up to just over 1,700 for the fair. So we hire them in a short amount of time, about a month, get them trained, and then open our gates with a full roster of staff.
You were telling me that it's not necessarily volunteers that you work with. So when does the hiring period begin and end for those seasonal state fair workers?
Yeah, so we start hiring every year in June. We kick off our hiring job fair, usually the first Saturday of June. And then once we're through that, we assess where we're at and then open up a hiring center that will operate 3 days a week based off of what else we need. This year we had great hiring that we only had public safety that we were filling at this point. That is a very large safety and security team, so they need a lot of people. They continue to hire till the 23rd of July.
And so I imagine there's a lot of different categories that people can work in. What are those?
Yeah, so we employ people in admissions, guest services, which are information booths, public safety, facilities, vendor services representatives. Those are our main fair time roles. Of course, agriculture is a huge department for us as well. We have a lot of staff that work some pretty extensive shifts to make sure those barns are clean and everything's being taken care of.
And so on the agriculture side of things, what are some of those qualifications that you're looking for in those people?
Yeah, so we hope you like animals, of course, and we hope that you are comfortable in a barn setting. So we have people that work in the entry office. They're also working with the different exhibitions that come, like our youth center that hosts our competitions that are featured. And so we've got staff in there. We also have barn laborers that are doing some cleaning, as you can imagine what that entails. And then we have lots of changeovers that happen. Also people being good with customer service, good traffic directing, making sure people aren't going in places that they don't need to be when we're moving animals.
And so moving those animals in and out of the fair is quite a feat. How do you go about that process with staff?
So we have an amazing agriculture department. We have a great director, some great managers that are year-round staff. They orchestrate the whole thing. It is literally like some sort of a sophisticated orchestration. They really have it down pat. They need to be communicating with one another and really have a buttoned-up schedule that we adhere to, and we ask for people to have a lot of patience.
Patience is definitely important when we're working with things like this. Samantha Dennis along with us. She's the Chief Organizational Development Officer for the State Fair. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Thanks, Kylie, for taking us behind the scenes at the Wisconsin State Fair, which kicks off Thursday, July 31st. The Midwest Farm Report team will be headed to Wisconsin State Fair Park this afternoon for the Sporkies and Drinkies competition. Stay tuned at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. Market advisor John Heinberg on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had six times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat joining us tomorrow after 9:35 to break down all Wisconsin news. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Coming down as well. How do our crop ratings look here at home, and how would you put Wisconsin up against other parts of the United States?
Well, crop ratings on the national level, we saw corn drop about a percentage point, which is what the market anticipates. This time of year, we start seeing that corn number coming down. Reason why down in the south, we're actually starting to get to the maturity stage, and those ratings start to slip a little bit in those southern states. You know, the biggest thing we focus on is the I states here, and the I states actually all were up 1% over last week. Some of these rains, even though we had the heat, the rains were still very, very beneficial in terms of at least support. Supporting this crop through that heat. Now the forecast is going to turn much cooler here over the next couple of weeks, and that's going to really kind of help support this crop. Though Wisconsin crop is doing great, at least according to the ratings. Now obviously what's in the field is different than what it looks like from the roadside. We did jump 3% higher on the good to excellent category to 82% good to excellent. So again, just the amount of moisture, the amount of heat that we've had, it's been greenhouse type conditions for these crops, and they continue to just kind of roll along. Now, as we're getting to the last half of the growing season here, Wisconsin soybeans exploded this last week, up 9% on the good to excellent category. And you could see that the beans kind of just were waiting for these types of conditions, and they really took off on the last couple of weeks here in terms of the quality of those soybeans. Like I said, 84% of the crop in good to excellent condition. Now we're getting into that key pollination, pod fill set stage here, and the weather looks like it's going to be pretty doggone friendly, and unfortunately that's been reflected in the markets here starting yesterday.
Yeah, you know, over the past few years, John, I've learned that, yeah, a good looking crop is all fine and dandy as long as it has a place to go. And I want to segue here, John. I know you've been paying attention to trade negotiations we're hearing about between the United States and some key partners, including China. What has stood out to you from some of those conversations?
You know, looking over some of those trade deals, they're nice. They're good for in terms of media, things of that nature, you know, getting some things off the table, maybe getting some set plans. There really hasn't been a lot of teeth to some of these that really support agriculture in that regard. A lot of the agreements are, you know, at least setting some targets for potential imports of U.S. products. But a lot of those targets are within what the parameters are, what those countries have been taking in the past. I guess the encouraging side is those are guarantees or supposedly guarantees that they will take those bushels or those pounds of beef or pounds of pork or whatever product that it may be into their country. You know, the biggest one everybody's waiting for is China. What's going to happen there? I mean, the world's largest consumer of commodities. You just hear the word China in the market, and it kind of makes the market antsy in terms of what's going to happen. Obviously, if you haven't heard the news, we're meeting with China right now in Stockholm to go through an extension on these current tariff agreement that we have with them. Nothing happened yesterday in terms of announced progress or any finalized situations. Right now, we think they're going to just build an extension on that with more to work more time towards a more finalized deal. That could be one of the things that this market really does need to turn around and get some upward momentum is the fact that we need to know where China is going to be in this marketplace. Right now, they're getting by without U.S. products here because of the strength of the crops in South America as well as other portions of the world. And that's one of the things that's been affecting market price is the fact that that demand from that country at least hasn't really been here to the levels that we'd like to see.
You know, we hear from commodity associations in D.C. that these types of negotiations or trade frameworks are great for farmers. But, John, when do we see that impact on the farm? Or is there something the farmer can do today to keep themselves well protected?
Well, again, obviously, it just comes down to the demand side of things and seeing that the other countries are step into, you know, the corn market. We saw that last year with corn. You know, China did not pick up any U.S. corn during the entire export season. If it was very minimal, you know, but we saw other countries just kind of step forward and European countries, Japan kicked back in. Mexico obviously was the largest buyer of U.S. corn over the last year. And as we're starting to get some 25, 26 sales put together, we're starting to see that those same trends continue. We've seen some pretty good activity in the corn market for new crop corn or corn being harvested this fall on the export market. It's mainly been Mexico. South Korea has been an active buyer here the last week or so. In fact, looks like they picked up a little bit more here yesterday from the United States. You know, right now the U.S. is very competitive in price with the rest of the world and winning some of those deals. But so we still just need to see that demand pace continue. And again, does that come from some of the trade deals? Possibly. Again, like everything else, so their consumers, in terms of those importing countries, they're just looking for the best deal they possibly can put together. And at least right now in the corn market, that is the U.S. bushels.
John, I hate to do this to you, but in 30 seconds, can you tell us about the first July cattle inventory report since 2023, the new livestock report? What do we need to know?
Sure, we can keep it quick and short because nothing's changing. Cattle numbers continue to decline, maybe getting to a bottoming point here, but this high-priced beef as well as high-priced cattle looks to stay around here for at least a little while longer given those tight numbers.
Thank you, John. John Heinberg, along with us on a Tuesday morning, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. You can find them online at totalfarmmarketing.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you for the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for tagging along with me on a Tuesday, and I'll catch you back here same time tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
House Ag Committee members spar over states' rights today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. California's Proposition 12 mandates pork housing standards for producers anywhere who sell pork in California. But now Congress will consider a challenge to that. House Ag Committee Chair Glenn Thompson says Prop 12 has been bad for American farmers.
As of the first quarter of 2025, 12% of small pork operations have exited the market or shifted production away from breeding, citing regulatory uncertainty and high transition costs.
Thompson says California has no right to impose pork production standards in other states.
Only 20% of Californians voted in that election. And of those 20%, only 13% in California approved this ill-thought provision. 13%. That is not a mandate.
The top Democrat in the House Ag Committee, Angie Craig of Minnesota, weighs in.
I think Congress also needs to be mindful of the voters in California. We should think carefully before allowing legislators in Washington to override their will. Prop 12 is clearly a contentious issue, and it merits thoughtful, bipartisan discussion. Even today, any true representative of farm country knows that Prop 12 is a concern for producers on both sides of the issue.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special live show from Six Springs Farm in Southwest Wisconsin as we talk to NFL and Badger Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, along with Brady Ewing as my guest co-host.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's ice cream month, and did you know you can celebrate at this area stop along the state's ice cream trail? Here's the scoop.
Now, in Wisconsin, we've got 49 different licensed ice cream plants that are making it. But this map focuses in on unique stops in Wisconsin. Every one of them's got a story.
That's Pam Yonke, known as the Fabulous Farm Babe. She says the current trail includes 20 locations, each one from Hayward to La Crosse, Madison, and then north to Appleton, Green Bay, and Door County, dishes out delicious, locally made ice cream.
I've been to one or two, but I'm surprised by how few I've gotten a chance to visit, and I'm a pretty big ice cream fan.
Find the trail at the website gatherwisconsin.com and add your own local favorite there, too. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. ABC has learned that the 27-year-old man who shot and killed four people at a New York City office building carried a note in his pocket claiming he suffered from CTE and asking that his brain be studied. He also made references to the NFL, whose offices are headquartered in that Park Avenue building. The suspect, Shane Tamura, had documented mental health history and played high school football. Police say he took his own life after the shooting. In Reno, Nevada, another deadly mass shooting.
Police say a suspect opened fire on a group of people outside the Grand Sierra Resort, killing three and wounding several more. Officers engaging the suspect in a shootout. He was taken to a hospital in critical condition.
ABC's Lana Weiss. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says over 60,000 Palestinians have been killed.